الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة الأعزاء أيتها الأخوات الفاضلات أهيئكم بتحية الإسلام سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته وبعد يسعدنا أن نلتقي معكم في هذا اليوم المبارك في درب من دروب الخير وطريق من طرق النور لنلتقي مع أحد عالم من علماء المسلمين وداعية من دعاتها فبإسمكم جميعا يشرفني أن أرحب بأجمل الترحيب بضيف الغالي ضيف هذا الأسبوع في اللقاء الأسبوعي مع مشايخنا الأفاضل وعلمائنا الأجلاء. أيها الأحبة، ضيف هذا الأسبوع هو فضيلة الشيخ العلامة الدكتور عبد العزيز السعيد، رئيس جميعة السنة وعلومها ورئيس قسم السنة بجامعة الإمام محمد السعود الإسلامية، وقد ألف وحقق كثير من الكتب وله نشاط دعوي كبير في شرح المتون العلمية، فجزاه الله خير الجزاء. وأنا أشكره سلفا لموافقته الكريمة وتلبية دعوتنا ليلقي الكلمة حول الموضوع سماحة الإسلام وشرح الآية وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وأسأل الله عز وجل جل جلاله عز شأنه أن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته وأن يزيده علما وعملا. Brothers and sisters in Islam, it pleases us to have with us today a well-known scholar from Saudi, our honorable Sheikh Al-Allama Abdul Aziz Al-Sa'id حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه. From among is a well-known scholar, and from among his teachers are Al-Imam Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahullah wa Imam Abdul Rahman bin Abdul Aziz Al-Sahman. Currently, he is the president of Society of Sunnah and its sciences, and he is also the head of College of Sunnah at Imam Muhammad Islamic University. He has authored many books and is very active in Dawah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him tremendously for his efforts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him in this dunya as well as in hereafter. And now, without any further delay, I ask our honorable Shaykh to proceed. والآن مع فضيلة الشيخ فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام
ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأسأل الله عز وجل أن يلهمنا رشدنا وأن يوفقنا للصواب وأن يثبتنا وإياكم على دينه وطاعته، إنه سميع مجيب. موضوعنا هذه الليلة هو بيان لآية عظيمة في كتاب الله جل وعلا، وهي قوله تعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وهذه الآية لا تزال باقية في لفظها ومعناها إلى يوم القيامة. فالله جل وعلا أخبر في هذه الآية أنه أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمة للعالمين، وهذه الرحمة هي دين الله الذي بعث به رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإذا ما نظرنا في هذه الآية وجدنا أن الذي أنزلها موصوف بالرحمة، كما قال تعالى عن نفسه الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا ما نظرنا إلى المرسل وهو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجدناه موصوفا بالرحمة، كما قال تعالى لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. وإذا ما نظرنا إلى الرسالة التي بعث بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجدناها مشتملة على الرحمة، فكان المرسل موصوفا بالرحمة، والمرسل وهو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم موصوفا بالرحمة، والرسالة مشتملة على الرحمة. وإن الحديث عن معنى هذه الآية مترامي الأطراف ولا نستطيع الإلمام به، لكن لعلنا نذكر إشارات تبين للمسلم شيئا من معنى هذه الآية، وذلك بالنظر في الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي رسالته. وإنما ركزنا على هذين الجانبين لأن عامة الناس وخاصة من أهل الديانات، من أهل الديانات السماوية، مقرون برب العالمين لكنهم يكفرون برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورسالته. فإذا ما نظرنا إلى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وجدنا أن الرحمة التي وصف بها لها جوانب كثيرة في حياته عليه الصلاة والسلام، ومن ذلك حرصه صلى الله عليه وسلم على هداية الناس، حتى إنه عليه الصلاة والسلام قد اشتد ألمه وتعاظم حزنه حينما أعرض كثير من قومه عن الدخول في دين الله، كما ذكر الله ذلك في قوله: فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا.
طيب فضل محمد
إن شاء الله.
He began by saying, "All praise and all thanks is due to Allah, and prayers and peace and blessings be upon the Messenger and his family and companions." So it proceeds, "I ask Allah to bring us to the right path and to keep us firm upon his religion and his obedience. Verily he is all-hearing and able to answer. Our subject this night is the clarification of a great verse from the Book of Allah, Honored and Most High, and it is His saying, 'And we have not sent you except as a mercy to all the worlds.' That is, we have not sent you, O Muhammad, as a mercy to all the worlds." This verse is still with us in its recitation and meaning until the last day. So Allah, Honored and Most High, tells us in this verse that He sent the Prophet, peace be upon him, as a mercy for all the worlds. And this mercy is the religion of Allah that He sent with His Messenger, peace be upon him. So if we look into this verse, we will see that the sender of the verse is merciful, and he has the characteristics of mercy, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about himself, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the merciful, the most merciful. And if we look to whom it was sent, and that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we see he is given the characteristic of mercy as well. As Allah the Most High said, "Verily a messenger from amongst you has been sent to you. Precious to him is your affair. Protective over you is he, to the believers forgiving and friendly." And if we look to the message that was sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we see it is encompassing mercy. So the sender is merciful, and the one whom it's sent to, and that is the Prophet, peace be upon him, is merciful, and the message sent comes with mercy. The speech concerning this verse is and can come from many directions, and we wouldn't be able to speak or collect it all, but the goal is to give the Muslim an understanding of some of the meanings of this verse. This is by looking into the messenger, peace be upon him, and his message. And we have specified these two issues because the general mass of people, and in specific, the people of the heavenly religions, that is the Jews and the Christians, believe in the Lord of the world, but disbelieve in the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu, peace be upon him. If we take a look at the Prophet, peace be upon him, we see his mercy is of many different types. Throughout his life, he, peace be upon him, and from that is a sincere yearning that the people be guided. So much so that he, peace be upon him, was very hurt and extremely sad when his people rejected and refused to enter into the religion of Allah, as Allah tells us concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Maybe it is you seek to kill yourself because of your sorrow over them not believing in this message.
تفضل شيخ. أحسنك الله خير.
قلنا
we said
إنه عليه الصلاة والسلام
that he عليه الصلاة والسلام
كان حريصا.
He was very حريص. He wanted very much
على هداية الخلق.
Upon guiding the creation.
حتى كاد يقتله الغم.
To the point that sadness almost killed him.
ومن رحمته عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And from his mercy عليه الصلاة والسلام.
ما كان عليه.
Is what he was upon.
من الحلم على الجاهل.
From his being very patient with the ignorant.
فإنه عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And he was عليه الصلاة والسلام.
كان قومه يؤذونه.
His people would hurt him.
والأعراب يجهلون عليه.
And the Arab would be ignoramus toward him.
ويقابل ذلك بالعفو والصفح.
And he would just be in the opposite with being very merciful and lenient.
لأنه عليه الصلاة والسلام لا ينتقم لنفسه.
Because he عليه الصلاة والسلام sought no revenge for his own soul, for his own self.
وقد ذكر الله عز وجل ذلك فيما أمر به.
And Allah سبحانه وتعالى says this in what he ordered him to do.
خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين.
He said, take with good, take with, خذ العفو, take with good, وأمر بالعرف, and give with good, وأعرض عن الجاهلين, and leave or turn away from the ignorant.
وقد امتثل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الأمر الرباني.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did do this order that he was ordered with from Allah.
ولهذا لما جاءه أعرابي فجبذ رداءه.
So for this, when a Arab man, a Bedouin man, came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and grabbed his and he tugged his thobe.
حتى أثر الرداء في عنقه.
Until the tugging, because of the tugging, the thobe it hurt his neck, it scratched his neck.
وقال مر لي وقال يا محمد مر لي من مال الذي آتاك.
And he said, O Muhammad, give me from the money that you have been given by Allah.
فالتفت إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وضحك.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم looked at him and smiled or laughed.
وأمر صلى الله عليه وسلم له بالعطاء.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم ordered that he be given.
ومن رحمته صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان عليه من الرفق واللين.
And from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is what he was upon with being lenient and friendly.
لا يعامل بالعنف.
He would not act in a tough and harsh manner.
وإنما يعامل بخفض الجناح.
But he would turn away.
وكان يذكر أصحابه قائلا.
And he would remind his companion saying,
إن الرفق لا يكون في شيء إلا زانه.
Verily easiness is not put into something except it beautified it.
ومن رحمته صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان عليه من الإحسان إلى الخلق.
And from what he was upon عليه الصلاة والسلام, from his إحسان toward the people, his goodness toward the creation.
فكان يحسن إلى المؤمن والكافر.
So he would be good toward the mu'min, the believer and the kafir.
والذكر والأنثى.
And the male and the female.
الصغير والكبير.
And the old and the young.
الصغير والكبير.
And the old and the young.
ويحسن حتى إلى الطيور والبهائم.
And he would even be good to the animals and the birds.
وسيرته صلى الله عليه وسلم حافلة لذلك.
And his life, his seerah is known with this.
أساء إليه كفار قريش.
The kuffar of Quraysh were bad toward him.
وَلَمَّا تَمَكَّنَ مِنْهُمْ فِي فَتْحِ مَكَّةِ.
And when he had the power, when he opened up Mecca,
قَالَ اذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَاءُ.
He said, leave, for you are the tulaqa, you are the free.
بَلْ إِنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ.
Even he عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ.
مَوْصُوفٌ فِي الْكُتُبِ السَّابِقَةِ.
He has been given the characteristic in the earlier books.
لِأَنَّهُ يَجْزِي بالإحسان إحسانا.
That he gives with an ihsan good, he gives good back.
ومن رحمته عليه الصلاة والسلام صبره على الأذى.
And from his mercy عليه الصلاة والسلام is his patience upon being hurt or harmed.
وخاصة في أول أمر الدعوة.
Especially at the start of the da'wah.
يوضح هذا.
What makes this clear?
أنه عليه الصلاة والسلام لما ذهب إلى الطائف يدعوهم إلى الإسلام.
When he عليه الصلاة والسلام went to a Taif to call them to Islam.
فلم يستجب له أهل الطائف بل آذوه وعذبوه.
The people of Taif didn't come to his da'wah, but they hurt him and harmed him.
فرجع صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى مكة.
So he عليه الصلاة والسلام returned to Mecca.
فجاءه ملك الجبال وهو في الطريق.
So the angel of the mountains came to him while he was on his path.
فقال إن شئت أطبقت عليهم الأخشبين يعني الجبلين العظيمين المحيطين بمكة.
He said, if you wish, I would crush or bring the two mountains to crush them and the two large big mountains.
فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام بل أرجو أن يخرج الله من أصلابهم من يعبد الله لا يشرك به شيئا.
He said, no, I hope that Allah will bring from their backbones people that will worship Allah and not associate partners with him.
فصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم على الدين وعلى الأذى فيه.
So he عليه الصلاة والسلام was patient upon the religion and being harmed for its cause.
فحقق الله عز وجل رجاءه.
So Allah سبحانه وتعالى made true his wish.
فأخرج من أصلاب أولئك فقهاء الإسلام وعلماء.
So he brought forth from those people of knowledge of Islam and great scholars.
وقادته وأئمته الذين لا يخافون في الله لومة لائم.
And the leaders and commanders that do not fear in Allah anyone's retribution of them.
ومن رحمته عليه الصلاة والسلام التي بعث بها ما كان قائما به من العدل بين الناس.
And from his mercy عليه الصلاة والسلام is what he was upon of justice between the people. He would not oppress them.
فكان المؤمنون يعيشون في عدله كما أن الكافرين يعيشون في عدله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
So the believers lived with him with justice, just as the kuffar also lived with him, just as the believers with justice. He would not oppress either of them.
فكان تحت حكمه عليه الصلاة والسلام المؤمنون واليهود والمشركون ونصارى العرب. ومع ذلك كان قائما فيهم بالعدل لم يظلم منهم أحدا.
So he alayhi salatu wassalam under his leadership was the believers and the people of the book from the Jews and the mushrikeen, those who associated partners with Allah, and the Christians of the Arab, and he did not oppress from them a single soul.
هذا العدل الذي كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما تقدم من الأوصاف إنما هو لما تمثله من القرآن الكريم الذي نزل عليه.
And this justice that he عليه الصلاة والسلام brought forth and was implementing upon the Ansar is what he was ordered with by the Quran, the blessed Quran.
ولأنه عليه الصلاة والسلام بعث رحمة للعالمين.
And because he عليه الصلاة والسلام was sent as a mercy to all mankind.
وقد صح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إني لم أبعث لعانا وإنما بعثت رحمة.
And it is authentic from him عليه الصلاة والسلام that he said, I have not been sent as a cursor and I have been sent as a mercy.
فكان همه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يهتدي الناس بهدى الله عز وجل.
So his main concern, عليه الصلاة والسلام, is that the people be guided to Allah عز وجل.
ولهذا لم يزل عليه الصلاة والسلام داعيا إلى الله منذ بعثه الله إلى أن توفاه الله عز وجل.
So because of this, you see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was always calling to the people from the day Allah has sent him to the day that he died, alayhi salatu wasalam.
هذه بعض مظاهر رحمته صلى الله عليه وسلم ومظاهر رحمته كثيرة لا يسعها هذا المقام.
And this is just some insights or some snapshots of his mercy عليه الصلاة والسلام, and the mercies he had are many, and this would not be a place that we would have time to name them.
ثم ننتقل إلى الرحمة المضمنة في هذه الشريعة المطهرة ولا ظاهرها.
And now we move on to the mercy that has been encompassed in this great sharia that is pure and that which it now.
فأول هذه المظاهر شمولية هذه الشريعة لما يحتاجه العبد في الدنيا والآخرة.
So the first is the encompassing of this sharia to all good that the people need in this dunya and the next.
كما قال الله تعالى ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء, وقال تعالى أنزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have not left out from the book from anything. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have sent this book down as a guider or something that makes clear for everything.
وثاني مظاهرها اليسر والسماحة.
And the second of its characteristics is its ease and being lenient.
وذلك أن الله عز وجل قد رفع الحرج عن هذه الأمة وجعل دينها دين يسر.
And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised up the haraj that is having to work too hard to يعني go out of bounds to work, get something, and he has raised up for it that the forgetfulness.
ففي دين الإسلام بنى الله عز وجل هذه الشريعة على اليسر ورفع عن هذه الأمة الآثار والأغلال التي كانت على الأمم السابقة.
So this deen of Islam has been raised up upon ease, yusr, and it has been taken off, and the earlier rules and aghlal, that is the certain booty that the people couldn't take from the earlier nations.
كما قال الله تعالى لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, وقال تعالى ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج, وقال تعالى لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and he does not bring upon a soul except that which it can bear. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he did not make for you in this religion from haraj. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and he does not put upon a soul except that which it has been given.
وأنا أضرب لكم مثالين يبينان رفع الحرج عن هذه الأمة.
And he's going to give two examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised up hardship off of this ummah, that is haraj.
أحدها ما يتعلق بالتوبة, وذلك أن العبد في هذه الشريعة إذا أذنب ذنبا فاستغفر ربه وأقلع عنه تاب الله تعالى عليه.
And the first of it is tawbah, repentance. And it is that if the slave, he does a sin, he does a wrong deed, and he repents, then Allah subhanahu and he repents, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it from him.
أما الأمم السابقة فتوبة أحدهم أن يقتل نفسه كما قال تعالى فتوبوا إلى بارئكم فاقتلوا أنفسكم.
As for the earlier nations, their repentance was killing themselves. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and kill yourselves, that then it will be accepted for you from your Creator.
والمثال الثاني يتعلق بباب الطهارة، وذلك أنه في الأمم السابقة إذا وقعت النجاسة على الثوب فإنه يجب عليه أن يقربه بالمقراط، وأما في هذه الشريعة فإنه يغسله بالماء ويكفيه ذلك.
And a second example is the tahara, the purification. In this nation, in the previous nations, if an impure substance comes on the thobe of somebody, he would have to cut it out. But in ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that we may wash it with water.
ومن مظاهر الرحمة في هذه الشريعة اعتدالها ووسطيتها، فلا إفراط ولا تفريط ولا غلو ولا جفاء.
And from it, from the characteristics of رحمة in the Sharia, is it's being in the middle. It's being moderate. So there is not إفراط or تفريط, that is being too lenient or being too harsh, and there is not or being too extreme. And there is not in it going, being very tough, nor being very easy. Both are in the same meaning.
وهذه الوسطية ذكرها الله عز وجل في قوله وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا.
And this moderation, or this being in the middle, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have made you a middle nation.
ولهذا إذا نظرنا إلى هذه الشريعة وجدناها تلبي غرائز الإنسان كلها.
And if we look to the Sharia, we will see that it has given a way for the human being to be able to satisfy all of his built-in desires.
فلم تجعل الشريعة هذا الإنسان إنسانا مترهبنا قاصرا نفسه على العبادة ومتبتلا إليها.
So this Sharia did not make the person as a person of tarahub, that is the priest-like or the monk-like, that he would have to only that I'm just making himself worshipping Allah all the time.
كما أن الشريعة لم ترضى للإنسان أن يكون جسدا بلا روح يحيا بها حياة صحيحة تطمئن إلى بارئها جل وعلا.
And likewise, the Sharia did not accept that this body be a body without a soul, and it would not be comfortable if it lived in this manner without the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal.
بل إن الإنسان في هذه الشريعة عليه أن يعطي النفس حظها من الدنيا، لكن لا يكون ذلك سببا إلى عزوفها عن أمر الآخرة أو تقصيرها بحق الله.
And likewise in this Sharia, the person has been not ordered to forget his part of the dunya, his nasib from this dunya, but without leaving the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or coming short in them.
وهذه وهذا كما قال الله تعالى وابتغي فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغي الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين.
And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not forget your portion of this dunya, and do not forget the remembrance of Allah, and be good as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or have ihsan as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ihsan toward you.
ومن الرحمة في هذه الشريعة أن الله عز وجل يضاعف الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى أضعاف كثيرة، وأما السيئة فإن الله عز وجل يجزي بها سيئة واحدة
And from the mercy of this Sharia is that the good deed is 10 times its fold, and the sin, the evil deed, is just the evil deed. It is that one deed.
كما قال تعالى من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئات فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whomsoever comes with a good deed, a hasana, then for him is ten times its like. And whomsoever comes with a sin, then it is written down as one sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not being oppressed.
فهذه بعض مظاهر الرحمة في هذه الشريعة وهي مظاهر تبين أن هذا الدين هو الدين الحق الذي يجب على كل أحد أن يؤمن به.
So this is some of the characteristics of mercy in this deen, and it is a proof that this is the religion of truth that all have to follow and should follow.
وتبين مما سبق أن هذه الشريعة ورسولها جاءت رحمة للمؤمنين ورحمة للكافرين بل ورحمة حتى للحيوانات والطيور والبهائم.
And it has come, as we said before, this Sharia, its messenger has come as a mercy. This religion, its messenger has come as a mercy. Its Sharia, its law has come as a mercy. It has come as a mercy for the Muslimin and the Kafirin, and even for the animals and the birds and all the creatures.
ولهذا نرى أن أو يرى العلماء رحمهم الله أن هذه الشريعة كالنهر الموضوع بين الناس، فمن أخذ به أو فمن شرب منه فقد كان شربه هذا ملهبا لظمأه، ومن تركه فإنه لا يزال ظمئا.
And the ulama, they say, we see the Sharia as a river flowing between the people. So whomsoever drinks from it, then his thirst will be quenched. And whomsoever does not drink from it, then he will stay thirsty forever.
ولهذا لما كانت الشريعة ورسولها رحمة للعالمين وجدنا أن النصوص الشرعية جاء فيها بيان لهذه الرحمة للخلائق كلها.
So we see when this Sharia has come down as a mercy for all of mankind, and its messenger has come down as a mercy for all of mankind, we will see texts that point out the mercy or how this mercy should be in the text.
ومن هذا قول الله تعالى في وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذين يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم. فهذه الرحمة لعموم الناس أجمعين، فمن قبلها فقد أخذ برحمة الله، ومن تركها فقد فرط وضيع نصيبه في هذه الدنيا من رحمة ربه جل وعلا.
And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, and they know that this message, and has been said to them in their book, that this messenger that is illiterate has come to the illiterate people, has come down as a mercy, for them, and he orders with good, and he forbids from evil, and he orders them to do, and he has taken off of them the earlier restrictions and the aghlal that used to be placed upon them. And so we see from this, this is the general mercy that has come for all of them, all of the people.
وقال ومن ذلك أيضا قوله تعالى والذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. فأخرج الله عز وجل بهذا النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس من الظلمات إلى النور، ومن الضلالة إلى الهدى.
And also Allah is saying, He is the one whom has sent to the illiterate a prophet from them. He recites upon them Allah's verses, and he purifies them and teaches them the book and the wisdom, and they were in clear misguidance before that. Sheikh continues, so Allah guided by the prophet the people from darkness to light, and from misguidance to guidance.
Wow, Sheikh.
يوضح هذه الآية قوله تعالى والذي ينزل على عبده آيات بينات ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن الله بكم لرؤوف رحيم.
And what explains this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, and He has been sent down to you ayat. Excuse me, before the earlier part was that the messenger has been sent down as a one that guides the people from dark to light, from misguidance to guidance. And what makes this clear is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, and we have sent down to you ayat that you may guide the people from the darkness to the light.
ولهذا جعل الله عز وجل هذا المنزل نعمة على الخلائق كلهم، كما قال تعالى واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم وما أنزل عليكم من الكتاب والحكمة يعظكم به.
And from this is that he has sent him as a blessing, a ni'mah, for all of the creation, all of them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember in the book that we have sent down upon you, a blessing that teaches you from the book and the wisdom, and from before you were ignorant of it.
ومما يوضح عموم الرحمة إلى الناس كلهم قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من لا يرحم الناس لا يرحمه الله.
And what makes it clear for all of the creation is mercy is that the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم whomsoever does not have mercy upon the people then Allah will not have mercy upon him.
وقول عليه الصلاة والسلام الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء.
And his saying, عليه الصلاة والسلام, the merciful will be merciful with them. Be merciful with those who are upon the ground. The one who's in the sky will be merciful with you.
وهذا في عموم الخلائق مؤمنهم وكافرهم برهم وفاجرهم إنسهم بني آدم منهم وغيرهم.
And this is in general for all of the creation. The believer and the non-believer, the male and the female, the ins and the mankind of them, and the all of and other than them.
نوضح هذا بشيء من سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قد قال إن الله يعذب الذين يعذبون الناس في الدنيا والناس عام يشمل المؤمن والكافر. فإذا عذب أحدا بغير حق عذبه الله عز وجل يوم القيامة.
And from this is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying is that whomsoever oppresses or hurts the people and harms them in this dunya, he will be harmed يوم القيامة. And الناس here, the people is general for all of the people.
وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حمارا قد وسم في وجهه فأنكر ذلك صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال لعن الله الذي وسمه.
And from this is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a donkey that has been branded in his face. And when he saw that, he said, may Allah curse the one who branded this donkey.
وثبت عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال دخلت النار امرأة في هرة حبستها لا هي أطعمتها ولا هي تركتها تأكل من خشاش الأرض.
And from it is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that a woman went to the hellfire because of a cat. She did not feed, she kept it inside and did not let it leave. She did not feed it, nor did she let it leave that it may eat from the food of the earth.
ولما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر فرأى طيرا تعرج فوقه صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني تطير فوقه فقال من فجع هذه بولدها عدوا ولدها إليها وهي طير من الطيور. أخذ بعضهم ولدها فكانت تطير فوق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ترتفع تارة وتنزل تارة وتظلل بأجنحتها فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برد ولدها إليها وهي طير وليست من بني آدم وإنما كان ذلك لأجل ما بعث به عليه الصلاة والسلام من الرحمة.
And from it is when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was upon a journey and a bird came to fly over his head. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, while this bird was flying over his head, flapping its wings, you know, going up and down, he said, who stunned this bird by taking away its children? That is, they took the children away from the nest. Some of them had taken the children. He said, return its children to it. And the bird was flying over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head, coming up and down. Flying in, يعني complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he ordered that they have mercy on it, and the children should be returned. And this is not from the people; this is from the other creations of Allah.
والنصوص السريعة في بيان الرحمة كثيرة جدا يقصر عنها هذا المقام ولكن أشرنا إلى بعضها.
And the text of the Sharia concerning mercy are many, and this is some of it, and this is enough for this, يعني, this is for our sitting, and nah, this gives you a good perception of mercy in the Sharia.
فما أحرانا جميعا أن تتمثل هذه الشريعة وأن نجعل أعمالنا صورة حية لها ليشاهدها الناس حتى نكون قدوة حسنة لهم فيقبلوا دين الله ويقبلوا عليه.
The religious texts in this aspect are many, too many to recall in this sitting, but we noted some of them. So how much in need are we? And how important is it we make these texts a part of us and bring them to life, so that others may see us and know we are leaders for them, and that they will follow in our footsteps.
وأنتم أيها الإخوة في هذه في تعيشون في بلاد غير بلاد المسلمين.
And you, O brothers, you live in a land other than the lands of the Muslimin.
وَالْمُؤَمَّلُ مِنْكُمْ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَقْتَدُوا بِرَسُولِكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَتُظْهِرُوا رَحْمَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ.
And you, O brothers, live in a land other than the Muslims' land. And what is hoped and expected from you is that you show mercy toward the people and present the correct face of Islam.
وَأُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي لَكُمْ أَنْ تَهْتَمُوا بِهَا فِي تِلْكَ الْبِلَادِ عَسَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ عَلَى أَيْدِيكُمْ خَيْرًا وَعِزًّا لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ.
And I will clarify for you some affairs that you should follow so that you will be guides to Islam and cause for the honor of Islam and the Muslimin.
أول ذلك أن تجعلوا همكم مع هؤلاء الكفار أن تجعلوا همكم معهم هدايتهم لدين الله عز وجل وتبيين الإسلام على وجهه الصحيح ودعوتهم إليه ليلا ونهارا لا تكلوا ولا تملوا من ذلك لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم والله عز وجل يقول في كتابه ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين.
First of all, make your concern with the non-believers that you guide them to the religion of Allah and that you present Islam upon its correct face and calling them to it night and day without tiring, because the Prophet peace be upon him said, if Allah guides upon your hands one man, it is worth more for you than the red camels. And also Allah said, who is better in saying than one who calls to Allah and says, I am from the Muslims.
والأمر الثاني أن تكون دعوتكم لهم على بصيرة من كتاب الله وسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا تنسبوا إلى الإسلام شيئا ليس منه ولا تحملوا الإسلام ما لا يحتمله بل وضحوا له الإسلام بصورته المشرقة التي تسع الناس أجمعين وعليكم أيها الإخوة أن تجتنبوا ما وقع فيه بعض الجهلة من ظنهم أن الإسلام يأمر بقتل كل كافر سواء كان معتديا أو غير معتدي وأنه يبيح لهم أن ينقضوا العهود والمواثيق التي بين المسلمين وبينهم أو أن يدخلوا إلى بلادهم بتأشيرات قد التزموا فيها بالالتزام بنظمهم وعدم الاعتداء عليهم فينقضوا هذا العهد ويعتدوا على هؤلاء الذين أعطوهم العهد والأمان.
And second of all, is that your calling should be upon clear insight from the book and the prophetic tradition of the Prophet, that is his Sunnah, peace be upon him. So do not attribute to Islam anything that is not from it, and do not bring into it that which was not in it. But make clear to them Islam in its correct and beautiful form, that has room for all people. And upon you is staying away, O brothers, from what some of the ignorant have fallen into of believing that the killing of the disbelievers, whether they are fighting against you or peaceful towards you, killing them is permissible, even to the point that they believe Islam orders that, and that Islam makes permissible for them to break their contracts, truces, and trusts that are between them and the Muslims. or that they enter into their land with visas in which they agreed when taking them to abide by their laws and not harm them, then they decide to break this contract with the people that gave them the contract and granted them security.
So do not be from these people.
ولا يعني أن المؤمن إذا أبغض الكافر وأبغض دينه لا يعني ذلك أن يعطل شريعة الله عز وجل التي جاءت بالرحمة والعدل حتى مع الكفار. بل عليه إذا كان يحب الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويدعو إلى الإسلام على بصيرة أن يلتزم بما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من عند الله في معاملة الكفار. وإن كان المؤمن يجب عليه أن يبغضهم لما اشتملوا عليه من الكفر وأن يبغض دينهم ويعتقد بطلانه.
And this does not mean that the believer that has discussed with the kuffar, that he does not show them the justice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, but it is upon him that he show them justice, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and it is also upon the believer that he hates this kufr and the deen that they are upon. Then he knows it is incorrect, it is batil, but he shows them justice as it should be.
أيها الإخوة، إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يفرح إذا أسلم الكافر. دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، عاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غلاما يهوديا كان جارا له، فقال، وكان ذاك الغلام مريضا، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يسلم. فقال الغلام أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الحمد لله الذي أنقذه بي من النار. ففرح صلى الله عليه وسلم من أجل إسلامه. وهكذا المؤمن يفرح من أجل إسلام الكافر، لأنه يريد هداية الخلق أجمعين.
And this is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he would be happy. He would be happy because of the Islam of a disbeliever. And he alayhi salatu wasalam, he went over to visit a young Yahudi boy that was dying or was sick, and he told him, say la ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. And eventually he did. He said la ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, left saying, Alhamdulillah that Allah has guided, that has saved this boy from the hellfire through me. So likewise the believer, he should be very happy that he sees that this believer is becoming Muslim. He should be happy when he sees this, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did from before. Because he is merciful toward all of the creation, he wants good for all of the creation.
وهنا نبين شيئا مما يتعامل به المسلم مع الكافر حتى لا يقع المسلم في خطأ لا يحبه الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And here we're going to point out a point between the Muslim, the dealings of the Muslim, between the Muslim and the kafir, so that the Muslim does not fall into anything that has become impermissible or haram while dealing with the kafir.
أول ذلك أنه يجب على المسلم الوفاء بالعهود والعقود التي بين المسلمين والكفار، لأن الله تعالى يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود، ويقول تعالى وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا، ويقول وأوفوا بعهد الله إذا عاهدتم.
The first of this is al-wafa. Wafa is completing or totally honoring your contract. So that is that you do not break the contract, you do not breach the trust, you do not cut off any agreement between you and them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you believe, complete your trust. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and complete this trust, for verily the trust you are we will be asked about. And the last ayah I missed.
وفي مقابل ذلك يحرم على المسلم أن ينقض العهود والمواثيق أو أن يغدر بالكافر لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ثبت عنه في الحديث الصحيح أنه قال لكل غادر لواء يوم القيامة يقال هذه غدرة فلان ابن فلان ويقول الله عز وجل في الحديث القدسي ثلاثة أنا خصمهم يوم القيامة رجل أعطى بي ثم غدر.
And from this is that it is not permissible for the person to breach his trust. It is not permissible for the Muslim to deal in deception. You cannot deceive them. And this is because of the what has been authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, for every deceiver is a liwa, that is a banner that will be put up for him on the day of judgment, saying, this is the deception of so, the of fulan, the son of fulan, that is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And the other hadith, which is Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, three is that will be my khasim, will be my opponents on the day of judgment. And one of them was the one who gave his agreement in me and then broke it.
ومن المعلوم
gave his word and went back.
ومن المعلوم أنه بين المسلمين وبين كثير من الدول غير المسلمة بينهم معاهدات ومواثيق والإنسان لا يدخل هذه البلاد إلا وقد التزم أو أخذ العهد على نفسه بالالتزام بأنظمتها عن طريق سفاراتها والتأشيرات وعندئذ لا يحل له أن يخونهم ولا أن يغدر بهم بل هذا من الإثم العظيم عند الله عز وجل ولهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إني لا أحبس الرسل يعني الرسل الذين يرسلون من قبل الكفار ولا أحيس بالعهد يعني لا أنقض العهد فمن نقض العهد فإنه ليس على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And from what is known is that between the Muslim countries and the Muslim nations right now is truces and alliances or contracts between them and the lands of the kuffar. So the person that enters into these lands, he takes upon himself the agreement when he enters in with the visa. He takes himself upon the agreement that he will be law-abiding, he will enter these lands. Yani not bringing harm to them and abiding by their laws. So it is not for him, and it is not permissible for him that he breaks this contract, and as Allah and he does not have deception or khawana, that is that disloyalty. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I do not hold back the messengers, that is the messengers in war. He does not hold them back or kill them. And I do not breach my ahd, my trust. So for this, the person that does such a thing from deception or breaking the trust, he is not upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Al-amru al-thani, wujub al-adl ma'a al-kuffar. Fala yajuzu zulmuhum, la fi amwalihim. ولا في دمائهم ولا في ممتلكاتهم ولا في أي شيء من شؤونهم لأن الله عز وجل يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن
You have
على أن لا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى.
The second affair is being just with them, not oppressing them, not in their selves or families or money or businesses or estates, not in anything, because Allah said, O you who believe, be upright to Allah, witnesses to justice. Do not let the blame or criticism of the people keep you from being just. Nay, be just, it is closer to piety.
نعم. الأمر الثالث هو الإحسان إلى الكفار. والشريعة الإسلامية جاءت بالإحسان إلى الكفار، كما قال الله تعالى: لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتبسطوا إليهم. وهم داخلون في قوله تعالى: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان، وفي قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. فيحسن المؤمن إلى الكافر، سواء بدعوته إلى الله وهذا من أهمها، أو يعطيه شيئا من المال إذا كان محتاجا، أو يحمل له متاعه، أو يوصله إلى مكان. فالمهم أنه يبره ولا بأس بذلك. ولهذا لما قدمت أم أسماء بنت أبي بكر إلى مكة وكانت كافرة، فقالت: يا رسول الله أصلها؟ قال: نعم، صلي أمك. وكانت مشركة، والله عز وجل يقول: ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إلى أن قال: وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا.
نعم. أن الشيخ حفظه الله went on to say, and having إحسان with the كفار, that is having good conduct with the كفار, and we are ordered with this.
Because our Islamic legislation has come with ihsan, goodness, toward the disbeliever, because Allah said, Allah does not keep you from being good toward the ones who did not fight you over the religion and did not expel you from your homes, that you have goodness toward them and justice. And the disbelievers enter into Allah saying, Allah orders you with justice and goodness. And the Prophet saying, Allah wrote goodness upon everything. Allah wrote ihsan upon everything. So, the believer should be good toward the disbeliever. Be good toward the disbeliever, whether in calling him to Allah, and this is the most important, or giving him money if in need, or carrying his luggage, or giving him a ride. The important thing is that he is good toward him. When the mother of Asma, the daughter of Abi Bakr, came to visit her in Al-Madinah, and at the time her mother was a disbeliever, she asked, O Messenger of Allah, should I keep ties with her? He replied, yes, keep ties with your mother. And she was one who associated partners with Allah. That is, she was a mushrik, a disbeliever. Allah said, and we have advised the human to have goodness with the parents, till he said, and if they fight you to associate partners with me, do not be obedient to them, and be a good friend to them in this world, and do good toward them. So that is, you were ordered to be good toward the parents.
الأمر الرابع أنه يجوز في شريعة الإسلام معاملة الكفار بالبيع والشراء والمعاملات المباحة، ولا ضير على الإنسان في ذلك، ومن حرم شيئا قد أباحه الله فهو آثم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يشتري ويبايع الكفار واليهود، وتوفي صلى الله عليه وسلم ودرعه مرهونة عند يهودي في شعير اشتراه منه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the fourth issue is that it is permissible with the kuffar in buying and selling and anything that is permissible in this dunya, and whomsoever makes something haram not permissible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal permissible, then he is from the sinful. He's going to have ithm for this. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his time, he would buy and sell and give and take from them, to the point that when he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, his dara, that is his armor, his body armor, was still with a Jew that he owed money, and he left that with him as collateral.
نبهنا على هذه الأمور الأربعة، وهي وجوب الوفاء بالعهد ووجوب العدل مع الكفار، لأن بعض الناس يرى أن من الدين والإسلام أن ينقض العهد مع الكفار وأن يظلمهم. ونبهنا على مسألة الإحسان إلى الكفار ومسألة جواز البيع والشراء معهم، لأن بعض الناس لأن يظن أنه يجب على المسلم أن لا يحسن إلى الكافر وأن لا يعامله في بيع ولا شراء ولا معاملة مباحة، وربما رتب على ذلك أمورا كثيرة أدت إلى الإضرار بالمسلمين أو إلى تشويه صورة الإسلام في أعين غير المسلمين.
And the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said, as we pointed out these four affairs, the first of them being al-wafa, that is completing your trust or being completely reliable and totally honest. And the second one is adil, that is you be just with them. Because some of the people, they see that it is a must that you oppress them and that you hurt them in any manner that you can, and this is not correct, and this is why we pointed these two things out. And we pointed out it is permissible to have ihsan toward them, or that you should be good toward them, and it is permissible to deal with them, because some of the people see that it is not permissible to have ihsan toward them, and that dealings with them are not permissible as well. And they have built upon these affairs many issues, some of them which have led to the hurting of other Muslims, and some of which have led to the believers looking at Islam, starting to have animosity toward Islam and looking at it as something despicable.
في ختام هذه الكلمة أوصي إخواني بتأمل الآيات والأحاديث والنظر فيها لما فيها من الخير والرحمة للخلائق أجمعين، وهي التي تظهر صورة الإسلام على وجهه الصحيح، وينبغي لهم أن يشهروا ذلك ويظهروه في تلك البلاد، لأن الحملة العدائية على الإسلام عظيمة، كما أن المشوهين للإسلام قد اقتنصوا مثل هذه الأحداث، سواء فعلها غير المسلمين أو فعلها السفهاء من المسلمين، فحاولوا تشويه الإسلام وصد الناس عنه، مع أن الإسلام بفضل الله ينكر هذه الأشياء ويحرمها، يعني يحرم الاعتداء على الناس أو نقض العهود والمواثيق ويشدد في ذلك.
In ending this word, I advise my brothers to look at these verses and ahadith, the prophetic traditions, and pondering upon them because of what is in them of goodness and mercy toward all of the creation and the creatures, and it is what shows Islam upon its correct face. They should make this apparent in those lands, because the war against Islam is great, and those who seek to hurt Islam have taken advantage of certain tragedies, whether the disbelievers did it or the despicable ones from between the Muslims did it. They try to take advantage of this and blame it on Islam so that they may hurt the religion of Islam and present an ugly picture of Islam and trying to keep the people from it. Even though Islam, and all thanks is due to Allah, denounces these actions and makes it prohibited, and it is in severe opposition to these acts.
وأختم هذه الكلمة بالاعتذار عن الإطالة، ولكن حمل عليها حاجة الموضوع إلى شيء من البيان، وكذلك ما أحمله في صدري قلبي من محبة لكم أيها الإخوة في تلك البلاد، سائلا لله جل وعلا أن يجعلني وإياكم من الهداة المهتدين، وأن يجمع قلوبنا على الحق، وأن ينصر دينه ويعلي كلمته، وأن يغفر لنا ويجمعنا بكم في جنات النعيم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.
The Sheikh, he said, I apologize to you for taking too much time, but this is a subject that needed some clarification and attention. And also, it is from what I have for my brothers of love. I ask Allah that He makes me and you from those who are guided and guide. And He brings us upon the truth, and that He grants victory to His religion and raises His word. And forgives us and brings us together in the paradise of Na'im.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. فضيلة الشيخ حفظكم الله, عندنا أسئلة كثيرة حول هذا الموضوع, ولكن محاضرتكم كانت كافية شافية, وبفضل الله تعالى قد عليتم هذه القضية, أتم العلاج خلال هذه المحاضرة الذهبية, فجزاكم الله خير الجزاء. ولكن في سؤال حفظكم الله, لو تفضلتم, سائل يقول, لقد تعلمنا من مشايخنا عامة ومن علمائنا في المملكة العربية السعودية خاصة أن الإسلام يحارب الإرهاب بكل شدة ولا يؤيد ما يسمون العمليات الاستشهادية, فما نصيحتكم للذين يرون جواز مثل هذه العمليات وقتل الأبرياء ثم ينسبون إلى بعض العلماء أو بعض الشباب في السعودية؟ Brothers and sisters in Islam, of course we have many questions pertaining to this topic. However, we see the most of the questions were answered due to this wonderful and most blessed talk of the Sheikh Hafizahullah. However, there is a question. The questioner says, we have learned from our scholars in general, and specifically from our mashayikh and scholars in Saudi, that Islam absolutely opposes and warns against the terrorism and the suicide bombings. However, what is your nasiha to those who see such cruel, evil actions and killing of innocent to be permissible? جزاكم الله خيرا, أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
أولا, هذه العمليات التي تسمى استشهادية هي عمليات انتحارية, كما أفتى بذلك أهل العلم وفي مقدمتهم سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز والعلامة الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني والعلامة الشيخ محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمهم الله جل وعلا. وهذه الفتاوى هي فتاوى موافقة لما دل عليه الكتاب والسنة. أما الكتاب فلقول الله عز وجل, ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. وأما السنة فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, من قتل نفسه بشيء عذب به يوم القيامة. وهذه شريعتنا. والذي يفعل هذه العمليات الانتحارية أو التي تسمى استشهادية هو يباشر قتل نفسه بيده, وليس هو مقتولا بيد العدو. والذي جوزه بعض الفقهاء قديما ليست هذه الصورة كما يتوهمه بعض من لا فقه له, وذلك أن العلماء لما ذكروا أنه يجوز الانغماس في صفوف العدو أو مثلا الانخراط عليهم من الجدار أو السور إذا كان محصنا, أو مثلا الآن الطائرة لو أنزلت أشخاصا بالمظلات, فإن هؤلاء لا يقتلون أنفسهم بأيديهم, وإنما الحرب فيها احتمال أن ينجو واحتمال أن لا ينجو إذا كان يقاتل كالمبارزة وغيرها. ثم حتى ولو كان الاحتمال أكبر أنه لا ينجو, فإنه لم يباشر قتل نفسه بيده. وأما هؤلاء فإنهم يباشرون قتل أنفسهم بأيديهم, هذا أولا. وثانيا, أن هذه العمليات إذا لم تكن في حرب مشروعة صحيحة فإنها إما عمليات غدر وخيانة, وإما عمليات في تخطيط المسلمين وتمزيقهم وإثارة الرعب في صفوفهم, وكل هذا مما حرمه الله عز وجل, لأن الإيذاء بكافة صوره لا يحل, والإفساد في الأرض بكافة صوره لا يحل، وإنما جاءت الشريعة بترتيب أمور الناس في حال السلم وفي حال الحرب، ووضعت الضوابط والشروط والقيود، ونهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قواده الذين يقودون الجيوش، قال لا تغلوا ولا تغدروا ولا تمثلوا ولا تقتلوا وليدا ولا شيخا ولا امرأة، وإنما يقاتل أهل الحرب الذين يحاربون، فتكون الحرب حربا مشروعة، ليست كما يفعله بعض الناس يخالف الكتاب والسنة فيغدر ويخون ويعتدي ثم ينسب إلى الإسلام أن هذا من باب الجهاد في سبيل الله، فهذا كله من الأمور الباطلة. الجهاد له ضوابطه وشروطه وحدوده التي حدها الله عز وجل ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا يتسنمه كل أحد من الناس، وإنما هو لأهل الحل والعقد والعلم والمشورة والرأي، ولأئمة المسلمين وعلمائهم وقادتهم وأمرائهم، وليس هو مبذولا لكل أحد، وليس كل من دعا الجهاد يكون مجاهدا في سبيل الله عز وجل. فنقول إن الأصل يكون الخلاصة هو أن الأصل أنه يحرم على الإنسان أن يقتل نفسه، وهذا شرع الله. فمن قال إن هذه العمليات الانتحارية خارجة عن هذا العموم الذي جاء في الكتاب والسنة فعليه أن يأتي بالدليل، ولا أعلم دليلا صحيحا يؤيد قول من قال بالعمليات أو بجواز العمليات الانتحارية. نعم.
The Sheikh answered, first of all, these actions that they call martyrdom are in reality suicide. As our great scholars have declared, the great scholars of this time, Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, and Muhammad Nasir Din al-Albani, and Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, have all given the verdicts, and their verdicts, the verdict that these are suicide actions. And this is in agreement with the book and the Sunnah As for the book of Allah, Allah says, "And do not kill yourselves, verily Allah is merciful with you." And in the Sunnah of the Prophet, whoever kills himself with something, he will be punished with it on the Day of Judgment. This is our religion, this is our legislation. This person that does not see the suicide bombings, this person that does the suicide bombing is killing himself with his own hands. He is not being killed by the enemy. This is not the same as the ruling of some of the earlier scholars, as some of the ignorant perceive it to be. The scholars, when they declared it permissible to attack the front lines of the enemy, or to break into a siege fortress, or today, such as parachuting from the planes onto the enemy territories. In these cases, when they made this permissible, it wasn't the person killing himself with his own hands. In these pictures, there is a chance of surviving. These scenarios all present a chance of surviving and dying, such as one who is sword fighting. There is a chance he may live and a chance he may die. And other such scenarios like this, then even if there is a great chance that he will not live, it is he did not kill himself with his own hands. As for these people, they killed their own selves with their own hands. This is number one. Second, these actions, if are not in a real and legitimate war, are either breaking the contracts and deceiving or lying, are all actions that weaken the Muslims, causing them to split and terrorizing their ranks. All of this is from what Allah has prohibited, because harming others is not permissible. In all these scenarios, it is not permissible. Spreading corruption on earth, in all these scenarios, and in all its scenarios, it's not permissible. Verily, the Islamic legislation has brought forth guidelines for the people in all situations of peace and war, and laid down the foundations, rules, and boundaries. The Prophet, peace be upon him, forbade his commanders while fighting. He said, "Do not steal and do not deceive, do not mess with the dead enemy's bodies, and do not kill the young, nor the old, nor the women." So, it is the warring army that is fought in the legitimate war, not that is to be fought, and not as some people do in opposition to the book and the sunnah of the messenger, of deceiving and lying and oppressing and aggressing. And then, after all of this, attributing this to Islam, saying this is jihad, that is struggling in the path of Allah. This is all from the false affairs. This is all ignorance. Jihad has its guidelines and rules and conditions that Allah and His Messenger have laid down. And not everyone or anyone can declare it. It is for the people of contracting and making peace, and for the leaders and rulers and scholars to declare it. And not everyone who claims jihad is a mujahid, for Allah's sake. So we say, in conclusion, it is prohibited for the person to kill himself, and this is the rule of Allah. So whoever said these suicide acts are outside of this general ruling, it is upon him to bring a correct proof, and I do not know of any such proof.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا القدر وفي نهاية هذا اللقاء المتميز المبارك لا يسعني إلا أن أشكر فضيلة الشيخ على إتاحة هذه الفرصة الطيبة فجزاه الله خير الجزاء ونسأل الله أن يبارك في علمه وعمله كما نشكركم أيها المستمعون والمستمعات في كل مكان ونسأل الله أن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه ونبشر الإخوة أن في مؤتمر القادم أو الأسبوع القادم يكون معنا كل من معالي الشيخ عبد الله بن عبد الرحمن الغديان ومعالي الشيخ صالح بن محمد اللهيدان ومعالي الشيخ محمد بن عبد الله السبير وفضيلة الشيخ علي بن عبد الرحمن الحذيفي حفظهم الله جميعا. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we would like to remind you that our next tele-lecture or teleconference will be on August 5th, inshallah ta'ala. And in our effort to provide an opportunity for the believers in West Coast to learn and benefit from scholars, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are organizing a conference with scholars from August 5th to 7th in Salt Lake City, Utah. We will hold tele lectures according to the West Coast time zone. Please visit albasira.org, www.albasira.org, for more information. So we remind you again that our next tele lecture will be on Friday, August 5th at 9 p.m. Mountain Time, which is somewhat 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And with this, we conclude our today's session. And we thank you all for your time. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who seek knowledge for His pleasure and act on it in the best manner. Wa jazakum Allahu khayra wa hatta liqa'in akhir nasta'udukum Allah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. جزاكم الله خيرا شيخنا بارك الله فيكم
جزاكم الله خير الله يبارك فيكم ويحفظكم
حفظكم الله شيخ جزاكم الله خير
السلام عليكم
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
of the lecture given by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al-Sa'id. He began by saying, "All praise and all thanks is due to Allah, and prayers and peace and blessings be upon the Messenger and his family and companions." So it proceeds, "I ask Allah to bring us to the right path and to keep us firm upon his religion and his obedience, Verily he is all hearing and able to answer. Our subject this night is the clarification of a great verse from the Book of Allah, Honored and Most High, and it is his saying, "And we have not sent you except as a mercy to all the worlds." That is, we have not sent you, O Muhammad, as a mercy to all the worlds. This verse is still with us in its recitation and meaning until the last day. So Allah, Honored and Most High, tells us in this verse that He sent the Prophet, peace be upon him, as a mercy for all the worlds. And this mercy is the religion of Allah that He sent with His Messenger, peace be upon him. So if we look into this verse, we will see that the sender of the verse is merciful, and he has the characteristics of mercy, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about himself, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the merciful, the most merciful. And if we look to whom it was sent, and that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we see he is given the characteristic of mercy as well, as Allah the Most High said, "Verily a messenger from amongst you has been sent to you. Precious to him is your affair, protective over you is he, to the believers forgiving and friendly." And if we look to the message that was sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we see it is encompassing mercy. So the sender is merciful, and the one whom it's sent to, and that is the Prophet, peace be upon him, is merciful, and the message sent comes with mercy. The speech concerning this verse is and can come from many directions, and we wouldn't be able to speak or collect it all, but the goal is to give the Muslim an understanding of some of the meanings of this verse. This is by looking into the messenger, peace be upon him, and his message. And we have specified these two issues because the general mass of people, and in specific, the people of the heavenly religions, that is the Jews and the Christians, believe in the Lord of the world, but disbelieve in the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. If we take a look at the Prophet, peace be upon him, we see his mercy is of many different types. Throughout his life, he, peace be upon him, and from that is a sincere yearning that the people be guided. So much so that he, peace be upon him, was very hurt and extremely sad when his people rejected and refused to enter into the religion of Allah, as Allah tells us concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Maybe it is you seek to kill yourself because of your sorrow over them not believing in this message. We said that he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was very protective concerning the guidance of the creation, to the point sadness almost killed him. From his mercy is what he was upon from being very patient with the ignorant, and his people would harm him, and the Bedouins of the Arab would be ignoramuses toward him, and he would reply to all of this by turning the cheek and forgiving, because he, peace be upon him, did not seek any revenge toward anyone concerning himself, that is, because of his own self. And Allah orders him with that, saying, "Take with forgiveness, and order with goodness, and turn away from the ignorant." And the Prophet implemented this order. For this reason, when a Bedouin came to the Prophet one day and grabbed his clothing and his shirt in specific till it became tight around his neck, around the Prophet's neck, and left its mark, and he said, "O Muhammad, order that I be granted from the money Allah has given you." The Prophet looked at him and smiled or laughed and ordered that the man be given money. And from his mercy is what he was upon of being friendly and lenient. He would not act in an aggressive manner, but he would act by lowering the wing. that is to be selfless and merciful. He would remind his companions of this by saying, ease is not put into anything except it, that it beautified it. And from his mercy is what he was upon from having goodness toward all of the creation. He would have goodness toward the believer and the disbeliever, the male and the female, the old and the young, and even toward the birds and the animals. The disbelievers were very bad toward him. That is the disbelievers of Quraysh. But when he... That is the disbelievers of Quraysh when he entered Mecca, even though they were bad toward him, when he, peace be upon him, entered Mecca as a conqueror, he said to his people, you may go free, for you are the freed ones. He has been given in the earlier books this characteristic as well, the characteristic of returning good with good or better. And from his mercy is being patient upon being harmed. So he would be patient upon being harmed, especially at the beginning of his calling, the beginning of his da'wah. As an example of this is when he went to the town of Ta'if to call its people, and they harmed him severely and tortured him. So when he decided to return back to Mecca, since he was being harmed in Ta'if, and on his path back to Mecca, on his way back, the angel of the mountains came to him and said, if you wish, I will collapse the Akhshabain, that is the two large mountains that surround that area. I would collapse the two mountains upon them, destroying them. But he, peace be upon him, said, no, I hope there will come from them, from their backbone, a people who will worship Allah and not associate partners with him. He was patient upon the religion and being harmed for its sake. So Allah made reality what he hoped for, and Allah brought from the people of Ta'if people of understanding and knowledge, and leaders and commanders that do not fear in Allah the criticism of the criticizers or the blame of the blamers. And from his mercy is what he was upon of justice between the people, and he did not oppress anyone. The disbelievers lived in Medina just as the believers did. He was just toward all. He was ruling over the believers and the disbelievers, from the Arabs and the people of the book. None were oppressed. He did not oppress anyone. This justice he was upon and implemented upon the Ansar, that is the people of Medina, is his living out the Quran, his implementation of the Quran that was revealed unto him. And because he was sent as a mercy to all mankind, and it is authentically reported from him, peace be upon him, he said, I have not been sent as one who curses, but verily I have been sent as a mercy. His concern was that the people be guided to the religion of Allah. He called the people to Allah from the day he was sent to the day that he died. This is some of the examples of his mercy. And his mercy is much, and we would not be able to make it to name them all right now. Now, the Shaykh Hafidhullah said, we will move on to look at the mercy encompassed in the great religion of Islam and its legislation. The first thing is the encompassing of the legislation of Islam, that which will bring good to the people, all that will bring good to the people in this world and in the next life. As Allah said, and we have not left out from the book a thing. And he said, and we have not sent down to you the book, we have not sent down to you the book except as a clarifier for everything. The second of its characteristics is it's having ease and forgiveness. That is because Allah has raised the haraj, that is the overburdening, off of this nation and made it a religion of ease. In the religion of Islam, Allah made it easy, and He raised up off of it the previous restrictions that the earlier nations had. As Allah said, Allah does not burden a soul that which it cannot bear. And He said, Allah did not make upon you in this religion from overburdening. And he said, Allah does not burden a soul except that which it has been given. I will give you two examples of how the burdening has been raised off of this nation of Islam. The first is repentance. In Islam, if the slave sins, he may repent and Allah may accept it from him. As for the previous nations, the repentance that was accepted from them was that they kill themselves, as Allah said about them. So kill yourselves so that you may repent to your Creator. The second example is concerning the purification, purifying yourself. In Islam, if impurity falls on your clothing, you may wash it and it will be pure. But in the previous nations, they had to cut it out of the, they had to cut the impure part out of the clothing. And from the characteristics of mercy in this religion is its moderation and being in the middle. So there is not extreme toughness, nor extreme leniency, nor extreme harshness, nor extreme softness. This moderation and being in the middle is as Allah said, and we have made you a middle nation. So when we look into this religion and its legislation, we find it has made a way for the human being to satisfy all of his inborn desires. It has not legislated a monk type of lifestyle of being cut off from everything and just worshipping and doing nothing but this. Just as it does not accept and legislate for the person to be a body without a soul, that it does not worship its Lord and can't find ease within worshipping Him. The human in this religion is to seek, that is, the person in the religion of Islam is to seek his portion of the world, but it should not make this seeking a reason for doing and look at, should not make this seeking a reason for not looking toward the hereafter and doing for it and putting forth good actions, and a reason for its shortcoming toward the rights of the Lord. This is as Allah said, and seek in what Allah has given you the house of the hereafter, and do not forget your portion of this world, and show goodness as Allah has shown goodness toward you. And from the mercy of this religion is that a good deed is rewarded and is multiplied 10 times to more than that. For every good deed, you are multiplied 10 times the reward. As for the sin, it will only be written as one sin. As Allah said, whoever comes with a good, he will have 10 times that, and whoever comes with a sin, he will only have that, and they are not and will not be oppressed. These are some of the characteristics of mercy in this religion. They are characteristics that show this religion is the religion of truth, and everyone should believe in and follow it. And it has become clear from what has preceded that this messenger and the message this religion has come of this messenger and his message have come as a mercy for all of creation, and in them is a mercy for all, the believers and the non-believers, and even the birds and the animals and the insects. So because of this, the scholars, mercy be upon them, see this religion as a river flowing between the people. Whoever drinks from it, his thirst will be quenched, and whoever does not, then he stays thirsty. For this reason, when the messenger, so for this, when the messenger and the message have come as a mercy for all, we find that the religious text in it has come as a clarification of mercy for all of the creation. For this, in Allah's saying, for we see this in Allah's saying concerning the messenger, those whom follow the messenger, prophet, whom is illiterate, that they find in that they find is written in their Torah and Injil. He orders the people with good and forbids from evil and makes for them permissible the good and prohibits for them that which is harmful and raises off of them the restrictions and shackles that were placed upon them previously. This is the mercy for and the Sheikh continues, this is the mercy for all of the creation. Whoever has taken from it has taken from the mercy of Allah, and whoever left it has lost and missed out on his portion. And also Allah saying, He is the one whom has sent to the illiterate a prophet from them. He recites upon them Allah's verses, and He purifies them and teaches them the book and the wisdom, and they were in clear misguidance before that. Sheikh continues, So Allah guided by the Prophet the people from darkness to light and from misguidance to guidance. And what clarifies this is Allah saying, He is the one who brings down upon His slave verses that are clear so that He may guide you from the depths of darkness to the light. So, verily Allah is most merciful to you. And the Sheikh continues, For this Allah has made this that is the messenger that is sent, as a blessing for all of the creation, as Allah said, and remember the blessings of Allah upon you, and what He revealed unto you from the book and wisdom, He admonishes you with it. And the Sheikh continues, and what makes this even more clear, the mercy on the creation, is the Prophet saying, Whoever does not have mercy upon the people, Allah will not have mercy upon him. Or on him, and his saying, "The merciful, the most merciful, will be merciful with them." That is, the merciful people, the merciful will be merciful with them. Have mercy upon the dwellers of the earth, and the one who is in the sky will have mercy upon you. This is, and the Sheikh continues, this is concerning all of the creation, the believers and the disbelievers, the good and the bad. The human and other than humans. We will clarify this with some of the sunnah, that is the prophetic tradition of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He said, Allah will punish those whom harm the people in this world. And the Sheikh says, and the word people here is general. That is for the believing and the non-believing. So whoever harms or punishes another unjustly, Allah will punish him on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, saw a donkey that was branded on his face, and he said, May Allah curse the one who branded this donkey. And also it is authentic from the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, A woman went to the hellfire due to a cat. She trapped it inside and did not feed it, nor did she let it out to find its sustenance upon the earth. And when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was on an outing, and he was traveling, with his companions, a bird started to flutter and fly around his head. And he was sitting down, and it would fly between near him and floating very close to him. So he said, Who has caused this bird grief by taking her children? Whoever did it, then let him return her babies. And this wasn't a human, but this is from the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the mercy he came with. The religious texts in this aspect are many, too many to recall in this sitting, but we noted some of them. So how much in need are we, and how important is it we make these texts a part of us and bring them to life, so that others may see us and know we are leaders for them, and that they will follow in our footsteps. And you, O brothers, live in a land other than the Muslims' land. And what is hoped and expected from you is that you show mercy toward the people and present the correct face of Islam. And I will clarify for you some affairs that you should follow, so that you will be guides to Islam and cause for the honor of Islam and the Muslimin. First of all, make your concern with the non-believers that you guide them to the religion of Allah, and that you present Islam upon its correct face and calling them to it night and day, without tiring, because the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "If Allah guides upon your hands one man, it is worth more for you than the red camels." And also Allah said, "Who is better in saying than one who calls to Allah and says, 'I am from the Muslims'?" And second of all, is that your calling should be upon insight, upon clear insight from the book and the prophetic tradition of the Prophet, that is his Sunnah, peace be upon him. So do not attribute to Islam anything that is not from it, and do not bring into it that which was not in it. But make clear to the people, make clear to them Islam in its correct and beautiful form, that has room for all people. And upon you is staying away, O brothers, from what some of the ignorant have fallen into of believing that the killing of the disbelievers, whether they are fighting against you or peaceful towards you, killing them, they're believing that killing them is permissible, even to the point that they believe Islam orders that, and that Islam makes permissible for them to break their contracts, truces and trusts that are between them and the Muslims, or that they enter into their land with visas in which they agreed when taking them to abide by their laws and not harm them. Then they decide to break this contract with the people that gave them the contract and granted them security. This does not mean that the believer that hates the people of rejection and disbelief and hates their faith, that he does not stick to the implementation of what the religion has come with from mercy and justice, even with the disbeliever. Nay, it is upon him, if he loves Allah and his messenger and calls to Islam upon clear insight, that he holds fast to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and what he came with in his dealing with the disbeliever. Even though it is upon the believer that he hates because of what they hold in them of belief and rejection, and that he believes it's false and incorrect. O brothers, the Prophet, peace be upon him, would become very happy if a disbeliever became Muslim. The Prophet, peace be upon him, visited a Jewish boy who was a neighbor of his, and he advised him to enter into Islam, and the boy pronounced the testification that there is no Lord except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The boy said it, and the Prophet was happy. While he was leaving the house, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "All thanks is due to Allah, the one who saved the boy, who saved him by me from the hellfire." So the Prophet was happy for him and his Islam. Likewise, the believer becomes happy for the Islam of a disbeliever, because he wants that all of the creation become Muslim and be guided. He wants good for them. Here we will note a point concerning the Muslim dealing with a disbeliever, so that the Muslim does not fall into anything that Allah and His Messenger hate. First, it is upon the Muslim to complete and be true to the contracts between the Muslim and the Muslims and the disbelievers, because Allah said, "O you who believe, be true and complete your contracts." And He said, "And complete the trust, you will be questioned concerning the trust." And He said, "Be true to the pact of Allah if you take a pact." And in the opposite of this, it is haram, that is prohibited, for the Muslim to break his trust and or deceive the disbeliever, because the Prophet said, "For every deceiver on the Day of Judgment, a banner will be tied and raised for him, saying, 'This is the deception of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so.'" And Allah says in the hadith that is Qudsi, "I am the opponent of three, and one of them, I am the opponent of three on the Day of Judgment, and one of them is the one who broke his trust. And from what is known is that between the Muslim, lands and the lands of the disbelievers are certain trusts, pacts, and truces. So the person can't enter these lands until he agrees and abides by their laws, by going through their embassies and getting their visas. Then at this point it is not permissible for him to deceive them, to be disloyal to the agreement. This is a great sin with Allah. For this the Prophet said, I do not lock up the messengers, meaning those the messengers of war, and I do not break the contract. So whoever the Sheikh continues, whoever breaks the contract is not upon the tradition or the sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The second affair is being just with them, not oppressing them, not in their selves or families or money or businesses or estates, not in anything, because Allah said, O you who believe, be upright to Allah, witnesses to justice. Do not let the blame of the criticism of the people keep you from being just. Nay, be just, it is closer to piety. And the third affair is having ihsan, goodness toward the disbelievers, because our Islamic legislation has come with ihsan, goodness toward the disbeliever, because Allah said, Allah does not keep you from being good toward the ones who did not fight you over the religion and did not expel you from your homes, that you have goodness toward them and justice. That is the disbelievers enter into Allah saying, Allah orders you with justice and goodness. And the Prophet saying, Allah wrote goodness upon everything. Allah wrote ihsan upon everything. So, the believer should be good toward the disbeliever. Be good toward the disbeliever, whether in calling him to Allah, and this is the most important, or giving him money if in need, or carrying his luggage, or giving him a ride. The important thing is that he is good toward him. When the mother of Asma, the daughter of Abi Bakr, came to visit her in Al-Madinah, and at the time her mother was a disbeliever, she asked, O Messenger of Allah, should I keep ties with her? He replied, yes, keep ties with your mother. And she was one who associated partners with Allah. That is, she was a mushrik, a disbeliever. Allah said, and we have advised the human to have goodness with the parents, till he said, and if they fight you to associate partners with me, do not be obedient to them and be a good friend to them in this world and do good toward them. So, that is, you were ordered to be good toward the parents. The fourth affair is, it is permissible in the Islamic legislation to deal with the disbelievers in buying and selling and all the rest of the permissible things. There is no harm in this. Whoever makes prohibited something Allah has made permissible, this is a great sin. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, bought and sold with the Jews and disbelievers, and he died while his armor was with a Jewish man as collateral for barley he had bought from him. We noted these four affairs, that is the obligation of keeping the trust and being just, because some people see it permissible and part of the religion of Islam to break the contracts with the disbelievers and to oppress them. And we noted the permissibility of having goodness toward the disbelievers and dealing with them, because some people feel it is not permissible to have goodness toward them nor deal with them in any affair. And maybe he even built upon this, upon these beliefs of his, foundations that end up hurting the Muslims and maybe even making Islam look unattractive to other than the Muslim. In ending this word, I advise my brothers to look at these verses and ahadith, the prophetic traditions, and pondering upon them because of what is in them of goodness and mercy toward all of the creation and the creatures, and it is what shows Islam upon its correct face. They should make this apparent in those lands, because the war against Islam is great. And those who seek to hurt Islam have taken advantage of certain tragedies, whether the disbelievers did it, or the despicable ones from between the Muslims did it. They try to take advantage of this and blame it on Islam so that they may hurt the religion of Islam and present an ugly picture of Islam and trying to keep the people from it. Even though Islam, and all thanks is due to Allah, denounces these actions and makes it prohibited, and it is in severe opposition to these acts. The Sheikh, he said, I apologize to you for taking too much time, but this is a subject that needed some clarification and attention, and also it is from what I have for my brothers of love. I ask Allah that He makes me and you from those who are guided and guide, and He brings us upon the truth, and that He grants victory to His religion and raises His word, and forgives us and brings us together in the paradise of Na'im. A question was posed to the Sheikh saying, we have learned from our scholars in general and the ones in the lands of Saudi Arabia in specific, Islam opposes and warns against terrorism and suicide bombings. However, what is your advice to those who see such cruel actions and the killings of the innocent to be permissible? The Sheikh answered, first of all, these actions that they call martyrdom are in reality suicide. As our great scholars have declared, the great scholars of this time, Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, and Muhammad Nasir Din al-Albani, and Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, have all given the verdicts, and their verdicts, the verdict that these are suicide actions. And this is in agreement with the book and the Sunnah As for the book of Allah, Allah says, and do not kill yourselves, verily Allah is merciful with you. And in the Sunnah of the Prophet, whoever kills himself with something, he will be punished with it on the Day of Judgment. This is our religion, this is our legislation. This person that does not see the suicide bombings, this person that does the suicide bombing is killing himself with his own hands. He is not being killed by the enemy. This is not the same as the ruling of some of the earlier scholars, as some of the ignorant perceive it to be. The scholars, when they declared it permissible to attack the front lines of the enemy, or to break into a siege fortress, or today, such as parachuting from the planes onto the enemy territories. In these cases, when they made this permissible, it wasn't the person killing himself with his own hands. In these pictures, there is a chance of surviving. These scenarios all present a chance of surviving and dying, such as one who is sword fighting. There is a chance he may live and a chance he may die. And other such scenarios like this, then even if there is a great chance that he will not live, it is he did not kill himself with his own hands. As for these people, they killed their own selves with their own hands. This is number one. Second, these actions, if are not in a real and legitimate war, are either breaking the contracts and deceiving or lying, are all actions that weaken the Muslims, causing them to split and terrorizing their ranks. All of this is from what Allah has prohibited, because harming others is not permissible. In all these scenarios, it is not permissible. Spreading corruption on earth, in all these scenarios, and in all its scenarios, it's not permissible. Verily, the Islamic legislation has brought forth guidelines for the people in all situations of peace and war, and laid down the foundations, rules, and boundaries. The Prophet, peace be upon him, forbade his commanders while fighting. He said, do not steal and do not deceive, do not mess with the dead enemies' bodies, and do not kill the young, nor the old, nor the women. So, it is the warring army that is fought in the legitimate war, not that is to be fought, and not as some people do in opposition to the book and the sunnah of the messenger, of deceiving and lying and oppressing and aggressing. And then, after all of this, attributing this to Islam, saying this is jihad, that is struggling in the path of Allah, this is all from the false affairs. This is all ignorance. Jihad has its guidelines and rules and conditions that Allah and His Messenger have laid down. And not everyone or anyone can declare it. It is for the people of contracting and making peace, and for the leaders and rulers and scholars to declare it. And not everyone who claims jihad is a mujahid, for Allah's sake. So we say in conclusion, it is prohibited for the person to kill himself, and this is the rule of Allah. So whoever said these suicide acts are outside of this general ruling, it is upon him to bring a correct proof, and I do not know of any such proof.